The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
Yeah! From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
Ha, just kidding. Good day, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, July 9th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and closer to 420 than we usually are. Our first hour was a total snafu. We've got a new setup here at Rollatide Studios. Thanks to the help of our great listener out there, Bong Hitter, we have got a Shoutcast server set up now. It's audio only, so if you've had problems with listening to the show on Ustream, there's too many delays, too many ads, whatever it is you don't like, you can now get an audio-only feed of 420 Radio, 24 hours a day, 128 kilobits per second, and it's available by going to rad-r.us/420audio. We've also got the links posted up on 420radio.org. Go to the top right-hand button where it's got all the pop-ups and the streams, and click on that. You'll get the link to live.420radio.org:8000. Because you got to have a port with this thing, apparently. But anyway, we've got that Shoutcast set up, and that means that our audio stream will very soon be included in some of the most popular radio apps out there, including TuneIn and Stitcher Radio. And I'm still investigating iHeartRadio, but I don't know. It's a Clear Channel thing. I don't know if we'll get past Clear Channel, but we will do our best to get this audio content out to as many people as possible. Thank you, Bong Hitter, for helping us out, and thank you all for supporting 420 Radio. Now, on today's show, all sorts of interesting things to get to. My guest today on the show at half past, we're going to have a little cannabis community chat with Jason from Odella Threads. It's a lifestyle clothing, kind of a lifestyle group. We're going to talk about 710, the dabbing culture, how he got involved with the whole marijuana movement and marijuana entrepreneurship, and the upcoming Seattle Cannabis Cup. So lots of stuff to talk to Jason about. Check that out coming up at half past. At 45 past, I got to go on a little radical rant. I touched on this a little bit at the end of hour two yesterday, but it's the rejection of the Washington State logo for pot packaging because it's got a pot leaf on it. How stupid is that? We'll tell you how stupid that is at the end of the show today in the Radical Rant. Also, in behind the headlines, if you've been following the George Zimmerman trial and the killing of Trayvon Martin, you'll know that the judge has reversed herself and allowed the evidence to go into trial that Trayvon Martin had marijuana metabolites in his body, maybe even active metabolites in his body at the time of his death. We'll tell you why that's a little bit of the pot calling the kettle black. Plus, we got the 420 Radio News coming up. Stick around. Thanks for being our fans. You're the best.
You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, July 9th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Denver considering 5% tax on pot sales comparable to cigarette tax, from the Denver Post. Denver Mayor Michael Hancock wants to impose a tax on recreational marijuana to cover the costs of the coming industry that would be roughly akin to the tax burden on a pack of tobacco cigarettes. Hancock is recommending a 5% tax in the first year, but said the city should have the flexibility to increase the tax to up to 10%. The city expects it will have to spend about $9.4 million on regulation, enforcement, health, and education, including adding 26 police officers, buying a so-called Denver Cares van to transport high people to a detox facility, and paying for an advertisement campaign to encourage young people to stay away from pot. Councilwoman Jeannie Fotts, however, is calling for a 15% tax, saying the tax should cover more than just the costs of the impact from the marijuana business. Quote, they said legalize it, but tax the hell out of it, she said. Why limit it to just 10%? Why is it not okay to have money left over to cover other services? End quote. The marijuana industry group says the industry is already unfairly burdened because businesses that sell pot legally under state law cannot deduct or use any tax credit on their federal taxes. The group is supporting the statewide vote on taxes and will campaign for its passage, but he doesn't want to see local governments piling on. They say, quote, the higher the legal marijuana costs, the more people are going to stick with the black market, end quote. Ohio Police Department is using fake drug checkpoints, from ABC News. Police in the Cleveland suburb of Mayfield Heights know they are not allowed to use checkpoints to search drivers and their cars for drugs, so they are trying the next best thing, fake drug checkpoints. Police in the city of 19,000 recently posted large yellow signs along Interstate 271 that warned drivers that there was a drug checkpoint ahead and to be prepared to stop, and that there was a drug-sniffing police dog in use. There was no such checkpoint. Just police officers waiting to see if any drivers would react suspiciously after seeing the signs. A 2000 U.S. Supreme Court ruling said actual drug checkpoints are not legal, and that police cannot randomly stop cars for just two, and police can randomly stop cars for only two reasons: to prevent immigrants without legal permission to be in the U.S. and contraband from entering the country, and to get drunk drivers off the road. Former Mexican President Fox urges marijuana legalization, from Yahoo News. Former Mexican President Vicente Fox took his crusade to legalize marijuana to San Francisco on Monday, joining pot advocates to urge the United States and his own country to decriminalize the sale and recreational use of cannabis. Fox met for 3 hours with the advocates, including Stephen D'Angelo, the Oakland-based executive director of California's largest medical marijuana dispensary, and former Microsoft executive Jamin Shively, who hopes to create a Seattle-based pot brand now that Washington State has legalized recreational use. Legalization, Fox told reporters after the meeting, is the only way to end the violence of Mexican drug cartels, which he blamed on America's war on drugs. Quote, the cost of the war is becoming unbearable, too high for Mexico, for Latin America, and for the rest of the world, end quote, Fox said. Every day, he said, 40 young people are killed in drug-related violence. There are plans to introduce a bill to legalize marijuana in Mexico this summer, Fox said. The bill, which he expects to be introduced by Mexican lawmaker Fernando Belanzaran, would legalize adult recreational use of marijuana, Fox said. The lawyer for Charleston man denies connection to DEA Bitcoin seizure and illegal Silk Road drug marketplace, from the Post and Courier.com. A Charleston man tied to the first ever law enforcement seizure of digital bitcoins insists he had nothing to do with the virtual currency and is a victim of mistaken identity, according to his lawyer. The U.S. DEA recently attracted a bevy of online attention when it posted a forfeiture notice indicating that agents had seized 11.02 bitcoins worth $814 from a 31-year-old Eric Daniel Hughes for allegedly violating the Federal Controlled Substances Act. This notice prompted a flurry of speculation that the DEA had infiltrated the infamous Silk Road website, an off-the-grid marketplace where drugs are traded, and bitcoins are the only accepted currency. Arizona ruling on return of seized marijuana stands from Tampa Bay Online. The Arizona Supreme Court is letting stand a lower court's ruling that the Yuma County Sheriff must return to marijuana seized from a woman with a California medical marijuana authorization honored by Arizona. The justices, without comment on Monday, declined to review a January ruling by the Court of Appeals. The January ruling said the medical marijuana seized from Valerie Okun must be returned to her. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, July 9th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines on the George Zimmerman trial and the recent admission of Trayvon Martin's marijuana use into evidence. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Stuff today. I got real good stuff.
Cali Mist. It's a sativa. Misty feeling. You know what I'm talking about.
And then I also got this right here.
I got this cashmere cream. It's an indica. It's going to keep you in your seat all day like a good Led Zeppelin album. Like cashmere. So, what's it going to be?
Take the sativa, man.
What the fuck?
Yeah, man.
Let your creative juices go. Go with the sativa.
Cool.
You don't want to be no couch potato. I'll take a potato if you're going to the kitchen,
what
man.
Holy.
Hey, listen, you want to go with the indica strain, man. Just chill.
Hey, what? You want to get high, not stoned. Come on now. Go with the sativa.
No, you need to just chill.
You supposed to be? Are you supposed to be the devil? Aren't you supposed to be the devil?
Oh, shit! What?
And aren't you supposed to be like tiny and on my shoulder? Just
we ain't got the budget for that. Who you think we are, James Cameron? Come on, baby.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about baby ducks.
You really want to be like that for 2 hours?
Let him choose for himself, bro.
See, this is why I can't. That's why I can't deal with you. Sometimes I wish I could just grab you and just snap your goddamn neck.
Hey. Hey, man.
Holy sh...
Dude.
What the...
I got other people to see, man.
A little of both, I guess. Please.
All right. I can do that. That's cool.
Hey, do you have any mushrooms by any chance?
Hell yeah, I got mushrooms. I got acid too, man.
The Russ Belville Show.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
According to lifelong pot smoker and rocket scientist Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Radical Russ and the Rolla J Studios crew will be right back after these messages.
A morning filled with 400 billion suns. The rising of the Milky Way cosmos is
all right, welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines, and the headline that's at the top of the marijuana news today is the Trayvon Martin murder case, where George Zimmerman is facing, I believe it's second-degree murder charges, in what he calls a self-defense killing of the 17-year-old unarmed black teenager who he was following, said looked suspicious, and that he was on something. Other evidence has pointed to him saying things like, "These assholes always get away with it." And from what I've heard of the trial and the 911 and all of that, he called 911, saw Martin walking around the neighborhood, began following him, and was told not to do that, and then followed him, and Martin ended up dead. Zimmerman is, of course, using Florida's controversial Stand Your Ground law, which says that when you are met with danger, you don't have to try to flee. You can just stand your ground and kill someone. So this has been a case that's garnered all sorts of attention. And the way that it hits us here in the marijuana community has to do with the defense, Zimmerman's defense, wishing to make Trayvon Martin's marijuana use a part of this story, trying to paint Martin as a thug, as a drug user, a druggie, in any way we can try to reduce his character and somehow make it acceptable for this 17-year-old to have been shot. So in this case, initially, the judge had ruled against the admission of this evidence. This is Judge Deborah S. Nelson, and it was in the opening statements that the lawyers couldn't bring this up when they were introducing the trial, that Martin did have marijuana in his system when he died. But there's been a development in this, and this is from the LA Times. The jury is now going to be able to hear about Trayvon Martin's marijuana use. The judge ruled that information in a toxicology report about Martin can be released. She reversed herself from her earlier decision that the information should be kept out, thanks to a motion from the defense. Now, the motion, the defense argued the toxicology evidence should be admitted since the doctor, the examiner, the medical examiner who conducted the autopsy, changed his testimony and said that THC, the active ingredient found in marijuana, found in Martin's body, could have had a physical or mental effect on Martin. Now, previously, the medical examiner in last November said that THC would have no effect on Martin. So here we have the coroner, when originally asked, you know, would THC make a kid get all wacky and, you know, want to hurt someone, said, no, that would have an effect. Now, for some reason, is changing his tune. Now, this medical examiner has changed his tune and said, well, yeah, maybe this could have an effect. And that's what's caused the judge now, as I understand it, to allow this evidence to be admitted. Now, in addition to the medical examiner's change of heart, the defense argued that in Zimmerman's calls to authorities, he said Martin appeared suspicious, like he was on drugs or something. And this is where I really have to object for two reasons. One is the fact that we all know marijuana is the one that leads you away from being aggressive and irritable and antagonistic. Makes you more of a mellow person. So this idea that he's somehow psychotic, that he somehow is deserving of this fate just because he was a marijuana smoker, that puts him in the same category as lots of teenagers out there who are marijuana smokers and aren't violent at all. Even the casual observer is the kind of person who's very reluctant to believe marijuana is going to lead anyone to any sort of violence unless they're still, you know, believing 1936 reefer madness. But the main reason I am so livid about this is the fact that George Zimmerman himself was on all sorts of drugs when he killed Trayvon Martin, and drugs that have violent side effects, known scientific violent side effects. When Zimmerman's medical records were released, and I'm getting this from globalgrind.com, it was revealed that he was on the prescription drug temazepam, also known as Restoril. Temazepam, Restoril, right? Because they have good names for their drugs. Our names, our strain names are silly, but temazepam is a good name. This drug is known to cause insomnia and anxiety. And also, according to the U.S. National Laboratory of Medicine, the drug is known to cause aggressiveness and hallucinations. And according to the, again, National Library of Medicine, after taking temazepam, patients should not be walking around trying to watch anything or anyone. They are cautioned that if they do not sleep for at least 7 to 8 hours after taking the drug, they may experience memory loss. Zimmerman was also on not just one drug, was also on the often abused prescription drug Adderall, aka meth, aka speed, which is known to cause, quote, again, National Laboratory of Medicine, quote, worsening mental or mood problems. For example, aggression, anxiety, delusions, depression, hallucination, and hostility, end quote. You want to admit Trayvon Martin's marijuana use? You better put that in the record, too. Give me a break. Marijuana. Oh, yes. The crazed teens on the marijuana. We'll see how this turns out. We got to take a break. Hey, it's 420 for real.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I want you to join me every Thursday night at the Funky Roller Rink, baby. Engine number nine. Can you get me back on time? Move on down the track. Keep that speed coming off the stack. Huh. Keep on moving. Keep on moving.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, it's Electric Tuesday, and so we bring back our good friend and transplant to Portland, Bacon Dan. How you doing, Bacon Dan?
I am doing great. A very happy Tuesday to you all, and, you know, a very funny way to have, you know, hour one be that crazy, but we're making up for it on hour two.
Hell yeah, it's actually 420, and we are on 710 Eve. So you got some 710 celebrations planned?
I do. I'm actually going to be headed into one of the dispensaries here in Portland. They're actually going to be having a judging contest for 710.
Right on. Bacon Dan getting into the judging here. We've been talking a lot about how much your life has changed dramatically since coming out to Portland, Oregon, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, now it's officially down 37 pounds.
Good.
Partially in thanks to not having to take as many pain pills and, you know, just pills in general that I've had to take for 15 years and living happier and healthier, and it's a very nice feeling.
And that's one of my favorite, that's right, that's one of my favorite stories that I hear from medical marijuana patients is how they're so much healthier because they're recovered from the pharmaceuticals they had to take, and, you know, almost as bad as the disease they were taking them for.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So good times. And I also want to give shout out to Ed Foreman, Ed Foreman Show, that had us on the other night. We went out and saw Ed first as a civilian for the first time. That was kind of fun.
That was definitely an interesting night. And And I can tell you have such a great time at it, too.
So. Oh, yeah. You know, I got the best friends and supporters in the world to thank, you know, middle-aged 45 divorce guy like me. And I got Bacon Dan taking me out to the land of short skirts and high heels. My goodness, ladies, what happened in the 20 years since I was, you know, married and taken? Oh, my God. Hey, we're running out of time before we get this song going here, Dan. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
All right. We got the band is called... who is it? Oh, yeah, it's That Handsome Devil. Out of Boston by way of Brooklyn, New York. The song is called Elephant Bones. That Handsome Devil is known for kind of bridging genres, anywhere from a bit of a funk sound, a bit more electronic. This song was featured in the game Guitar Hero 2. It became very popular because of that.
All right, let's check it out.
They better have guns, cause everybody's crazy down here. On everybody's drugs. Casinos, pornos, stock shows, white trash goes to die. Bumps push calls, crack hit squirrels, and birds too drunk to fly. Good! Your dance is the end of the world, just come with me to the end of the world. Come on, baby, it's the end of the world, just as I am to the end of the world. Some astronauts to study our bones through the miles of garbage beneath all the junk that we own. Carbon dating beer cans, condoms and turkey wrappers. We were something beautiful, baby. What the hell happened? Good.
Sergeant Craig Simpson.
There are other tests which officers can perform that may help them to make this determination. Tests such as one called lack of convergence, which looks to see whether or not a person is able to cross their eyes. Marijuana is a drug that prevents a person from being able to cross their eyes. Interestingly, it is the only drug category that doesn't allow a person to cross their eyes and also does not allow the person to exhibit a jerkiness of their eye. So it's a unique drug in that sense. That is the only one to provide that influence. On the road
again. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at norml.org.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Half past, and joining us on the telephone, we got Jason from Odella Threads. How you doing, Jason?
What's up, Russ?
I'm doing good, man. I got to make sure I pronounce that right, because I grew up with Mexican kids, and that says Odella to me. What's up with that?
No. It's definitely Odella Threads for Heads, man.
All right. So what does Odella mean? How do you come up with that name?
Well, when searching for a name that went well, that jived well off the tongue, you know, it's actually the place that I'm from. I'm from Exit 420. That's no lie. It's a town called Aledo. And when you spell Aledo backwards, you got Odella.
So. Oh, there we go. Now, see, I like that origin story. So Exit 420 in California, I assume. Is that right?
Texas.
Exit 420 in Texas. There's an
Aledo. Yeah, we got our motto is Texas Pride with Cali Culture.
There we go. All right, kids. Yes, that's right. We met at the Texas event, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Normal Regional Conference. We met at in Texas. Yes, sir. Fort Worth.
Yeah, I've got your sticker, as a matter of fact, on my travel bag. And one of the things I liked about it is I feel like I can put that sticker on and represent, and yet don't really have to be that obvious to TSA or anybody. Is that kind
far
of a
out,
theme?
Man. Yeah, that's kind of the point. Is you know, a lot of our shirts, they do blatantly say, yeah, I'm dabbing this. I have a whole line of dab shirts actually, but you know, I have some that are like the one that you have that are just less apparent to everyone, less obvious. But I mean, I've walked to the airport, pot shirt on, and you know, an e-pen in my bag and everything, and didn't even get searched. It's crazy.
Yeah. All right. So Odella Threads, I know you guys got websites and Facebook and all that. Why don't we give people that information, and they can kind of look at what you're talking about while we're talking.
Right. The most relevant page that we have probably right now is our Facebook. It's facebook.com/odella.threads, and that's O-D-E-L-A dot threads with a Z. It's threads for heads with Zs.
Yeah.
Twitter, you can catch me there, Odella Threads. Instagram.com/odellathreads. We can see the freshy the pictures of what's going on.
Right on. So you come up out of Aledo, Texas, exit 420, which I imagine's in the middle of nowhere, Texas, which pretty much all of Texas is in the middle of nowhere, Texas. Hey, I've driven through Texas, man. You're not fooling me.
Pretty desolate.
But how did you manage to get involved in the movement in marijuana when you're coming from small town Texas? And what was it like coming up?
Man, well, first of all, when I was born, I was born with horrible asthma, and that's a pretty good way to start into that, because you know, growing up, I was in and out of the hospital with the asthma, and then, you know, I started smoking pot at 13 years old, 14 years old, 14 it was, and you know, it just mysteriously went away. The asthma went away, and before that, I couldn't go anywhere without an inhaler.
Yeah.
And it turns out that you know, it relaxes the bronchial cords, which is asthma. All that is the constriction of your bronchial cords. So,
yeah.
Anyways, it works for me medically. And you know, when smoking, you know, every day for those years, I wanted to be normal for so long. And finally, I got up and I went to a meeting a year or so ago and got involved with it and did an interview with the Expendables right away and did some other various things and ended up sponsoring the conference this last time. And through that, met a bunch of wonderful people like yourself and involvement with a tinctura cultivar and, you know, all sorts of different things have come about that I've come to sponsor a couple of athletes and we're forming the Odella team. We have a couple musical acts. We got Boxer's Brain here in DFW. We got Loyal Sally. We have Ja Born, the Grammy Award-winning platinum album producer, and the Cannabinoids, actually. Those are all members of our team. We got the Dirty 530, a snowboarder from Tahoe. Collaboration, man. I call it the Captain Planet tip, Russ. When you combine with other people, you do wonderful things, and you can get things passed that you couldn't by yourself. And,
I like that. Well, this is a lot of, you know, that's what I saw when I was in DFW. And previously, I've been to the Austin chapters and the Houston chapters and San Antonio. And there's this camaraderie and cooperation amongst Texas advocates out there that other states could really do well to emulate. Do you think it's just because you're, you know, under the guns more so than we are out here on the West Coast? It kind of forces you to stick together?
There's that. Plus, it's the, you know, you don't notice till you're from here and you go other places that people look at you weird when you open the door for people. I mean, it's just, it's, yeah, that's where, you know, you don't want to get into religion or anything like that, but the weird faith I have is a combination of, you know, the manners of a Southern Baptist. That's what I was forced to be raised in Texas. And then, you know, Rastafari and then a little bit of Buddhism. So it makes me really, a really chilled out, mannered, person.
All right.
I think when you stick together, like I said, I mean, I didn't think that's just a Texas thing. I think we do that everywhere. I think as dabbers and as smokers, and we do that already.
Yeah, you know? And I'm glad you bring that up. Of course, we're on 710 Eve, and this may be, I don't know if there's been a lot of celebration openly of 710 as a specific day, as much as this year I'm hearing about it. I know it's been building up in regions of the country that are more hip with the dabbing, but I think maybe on the national level, this is the first time where, whoa, 710 is a cultural thing. And when people are going to these events, they're seeing specific tools just for oil and specific shirts just about oil. What do you think about all this changing, emerging culture?
It's on the surface is mind blowing. I mean, you look up, you wake up one day and you walk into a shop and you don't even know what something does. I mean, I think I went in for months, maybe a year without knowing what those things were. And then finally, boom. And then it's on like Donkey Kong, you know, and I'm going to 710 Cup myself. Me and somebody else from Odella, we're going to spark and lock and we're going to roll up there and kind of represent Odella. And I think we're actually volunteer work for the 710 Cup. I think that's the best way to see what's going on. But yeah, the dab culture is real, and it's got to be paid attention to. And it's not a bad thing. Like people see the torch, and they get scared off. But all it is a method to heat the nail. And what the beautiful thing about dab and BHO and the advent of all this culture is that you finally taken, you know, the brains that we have, and you've used it for something that's so epic. In the fact that you've increased THC levels to 70 to 90%. If you get certain things, tincture, other things like that, you know, things that come from such wonderful states as, you know, California, Oregon, where you can verify how much solvent is left in something. You can know your medicine now. You can use it in such a way that it's the tits. There's no better. There's no higher. I mean,
no doubt about that. Man. Hey,
and
you know,
it seems like Denver's the hot point for it too.
Oh yeah,
that's where the 710 Cup set.
Yeah, and speaking of that, looks like we'll be traveling out there to the 710 Cup,
right,
courtesy
on
of Tincture Cultivara. So Tincture Cultivar. So we may see you out there as well and get some video. We'll talk some more to the people. It'll be great.
Absolutely, man. Look out for the let's just say the word nebulous. Let's just say that. That's a big thing as well on the horizon.
And what? And but, nebulous is.
Maybe some sort of just an oil thing. It's just, I'm tired of looking at everybody with the e-cigarettes and I don't know. We've got to have a better one. That's just the
way
to go.
That's what I'm looking forward to, man, is getting some development on these devices that are torchless. Complaints I've been hearing is about, oh, well, there's metal parts and they're cheaply made or whatever, but it's not going to be too long before someone makes a nice pro-level ceramic safe, fair trade, whatever, that will be a really kick-ass way to use these kind of oils and stuff.
Yeah, it's coming. You already know it is. The way I've always thought about things is by the time we think about it, it's some genius has probably already made it, you know what I mean? But it's out there. I've seen a couple of like emails and stuff like that, and I've even myself taken the torch to such an uncreep level of putting it in a, you know, in a concealed backpack that looks like it's a camelback I'm going to drink water out of. I mean, it's great.
Hey, folks, we're talking with Jason from the wonderful Odella Threads. You can find them on facebook.com/Odella.threads with a Z. And in addition to the t-shirts and all, what kind of stuff can people get from Odella?
First of all, Threads for Heads is a good the good phrase for it, because, you know, not only am I Odella Threads for Heads LLC, I make shirts for companies as well that aren't afraid to stand up for the cause, or if you're not a smoker, just for the counterculture, and don't back down with it, because I'm surely not going to back down from it. And that means that I will make you a hemp shirt, and it will have an Odella Threads for Heads tag on it, and it will have your design, or your company's name, or 420, you know, whatever, so be it. And it's taking Odella Threads to Heads to the next level. Also, like I said, sponsoring of athletes, bands, and to whatever level that may, whatever level that may be. But I mean, I'm down to do it as long as it's progression of some sort.
Well, we will talk in Denver for sure, because I'm digging Odella Threads as well. Hey, and I just wanted to ask also, with regard to coming up in Texas and standing up so proudly like you are, has this ever caused you any problems with the law or family or issues like that?
Not so much. I mean, it's at a certain point, it comes down to being smart and not. I mean, you know when to stick your head out there and when not. But I mean, oddly enough, I'm moving here shortly, probably to relocating to Washington. But Odella Threads is going to have an outpost in Texas and Washington and Colorado coming up. So we're all three getting out there and kind of spreading our wings a little bit. But Texas has been fine, but it's a state where abortion is a relevant topic again, and I'm out on that one. I mean,
yeah,
come
no
on.
Kidding. Hey, so moving possibly to Washington, will we see you at the U.S. Cannabis Cup there in September?
You will see Odella at Hemp Fest, actually, first of all, on August 16th, which happens to be my birthday. You're going to see us up there with the author of If a Peacock Finds a Pot Leaf, Mr. Neva Carmen.
Very
and,
cool.
And MMJ Muse. But, I hope. Man, I don't see why I wouldn't be in the Cannabis Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm going to be there.
All right, and we'll see you up at HempFest as well. We're hanging out with Adam Hand, Handmade Apparel. Oil Slick's going to be there. We got a big old booth where the paths converge. It'll be hard to miss 420 Radio. Hey, Jason, I want to thank you for coming on the show and for representing and showing us a good time last time we were there in Texas. We'll have you back anytime you like, and I'll see you this weekend.
Thanks, Russ, for sure. I look forward to seeing you, buddy.
All right, that's Odella Threads, Odella.threads, Threadz, on Facebook, if you want to check out the lineup for Odella Threads, or just go to one of these events and see where they're representing. Grab a sticker, tell friends about it, pick up some of their stuff. It's really good stuff. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, time for a radical rant talking about Washington State and branding. You won't believe why they rejected the brand for Washington State's pot products. Because it looked like pot. Ha! Oh, we'll be right back.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
People that take a couple of puffs of marijuana and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences. And these judges say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do. There's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the President, the Congress, Congress and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, so as you know, Washington State legalized marijuana with passage of I-502. And we can quibble about legalized and just how legal it is. But the possession of an ounce of marijuana is perfectly legal. And as soon as they get the rules in place for the selling and cultivation for retail distribution, we'll have pot shops just north of us in Vancouver, Washington, where anyone 21 and older could go in and buy marijuana. But there is a certain question that has to be solved here in the retail distribution of marijuana on a legitimate legal level, and that is labeling. Got to have some sort of label on these products. Tell people what they are, what they contain. And of course, you want to have rules and regulations where there's testing of how much THC and CBD and all of that. We can put that on the label and whether it was grown organically and what kind of pesticides might have been used on it. What strain is it? What's its relative terpenes and all of that stuff. There's plenty we could put on the label. But I think we would all agree at some point you would have to clearly designate in a very simple manner that the product is marijuana. I think we could all come to that conclusion, right? I mean, labels are good with THC and CBD, but aside from those of us here in the choir, who the hell knows what that is? Some people know what THC is, but that's not going to be something that a five-year-old picking up a wrapper with a brownie on it might be able to recognize. It's not going to be something that an older person might be able to discern, maybe able to read in the fine print without their glasses. You know, maybe if we had something big and bold to show people very clearly that it was marijuana. Hey, well, look at that. Look at that there, right on the screen. That would be something I would think of, right? It's a silhouette of the state of Washington. And in the center of the state is a white circle. And in the center of the white circle is a green cannabis leaf, maybe an indica leaf there, kind of thick on the leaves there. And not the best drawing of a cannabis leaf. That would be my only quibble with this. But that seems pretty straightforward. This product, if I saw that, you know, on a case of brownies or some cookies or, you know, whatever it might be. And I saw that. Oh, medicated. That's medicated. Obviously, there's some pot in there. Well, guess what, folks? They rejected it. They rejected this logo because it looks like pot. I'm not making it up. They rejected it because it looks like pot. This is the story as it was written up in Huffington Post. Last week, regulators in the state scrapped the logo, which would have appeared on packaging for all recreational cannabis products, in response to pressure from critics who said the design glamorized marijuana culture. Look at that thing. Glamorizing marijuana culture with its blatant, badly clip art pot leaf on it. Looked like something a 12-year-old could have done in MS Paint. Yes. Oh my gosh, the glamorization. Now, Mikhail Carpenter is a spokesman for the Liquor Control Board, because of course in Washington, the Liquor Control Board runs marijuana. Mikhail Carpenter, spokesman for the Liquor Control Board, told Huffington Post, quote, "The intention behind it, of course, was to readily identify marijuana products." Oh, yes, of course. "When you're dealing with extracts or brownies, you need to make sure you identify them as containing cannabis." End quote. Okay, so what's the problem? Well, guess who? A nonprofit called the Children's Alliance. Won't you think of the children? Children might see this pot leaf. Look at this. Look at it. Look at it with its whole leafy green pot leafiness. The Children's Alliance sent regulators a letter last month complaining the insignia could, quote, reasonably be viewed as branding Washington the marijuana state, or as Washington proudly promoting marijuana use to the rest of the world, end quote. Oh, God. It's almost as if 55% of the voters thought marijuana use was something that wasn't a crime. Wow. A local business journal wrote that the logo looks like a decal fit for a Cheech and Chong van. While Mark Kleiman, the UCLA professor who is advising the state on its rulemaking process, a.k.a. the pot czar, and I like to call him that because he didn't like the name, told an Oregon public radio station that the image, quote, did seem to be closer to endorsement than is probably wise, end quote. All right, now, there's some argument about this, right? There was a guy, Hollerin was his name, who's a graphic design guy, spoke to Huffington Post and said, yeah, the image is so, Potleaf is so countercultural, it's impossible to present it as a non-biased government symbol. That is, Potleaf is associated with hippies so strongly, you can't show it on a government logo without appearing to endorse the use of marijuana. And the analogy he makes here is that the ATF, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, doesn't put an image of a can of beer, an AK-47, and rolling papers on the licenses it grants. And I looked it up. I looked up, because you know me, I look shit up. I looked up the logo and all the branding for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and sure enough, on their shield, on their little logo and stuff, it's like a scale and like a rule of something. I mean, there's no bullets or anything on it, right? So I understand the point you're making on this. But I want to make a different point. First of all, one person mentioned how the Liquor Control Board spokesman said, we received criticism that is a little too promotional, a little too flashy, and that it would be appearing in T-shirts. And that's why it was pulled. The board did not specify when or if a new logo would be ready, but said it reserved the right to produce another one. So the worry here is that we would put the Washington State pot logo on a T-shirt. And by the way, guess what's going to go on a T-shirt right now? Guess what I will see being sold at Seattle Hemp Fest, guaranteed, is that right there. I bet you dollars and donuts. It's going to be on T-shirts anyway. It doesn't matter what you make the logo for the Washington State or Colorado, for that matter. Doesn't matter what you make the logo. It's going to get put on a T-shirt because you're a state that has legal pot and people think that's kind of cool and they're going to make T-shirts for it. So, but the other point that I have to get to on this is the fact that we have to censor nature. Think about what he said here in this, the ATF doesn't put a can of beer and AK-47 and rolling papers on the licenses it grants. Right, but can of beer is, you know, something a man made. An AK-47, something a man made. Rolling papers, something a man made. Potleaf, something nature made. Does that not indicate to you in a stark contrast just how insane the prohibition of marijuana is and how much of it is a hatred of nature itself? A hatred of our own connection to the plant and plants, there's others, that can heal us and maintain us in an era when we live with, you know, genetically modified organisms, when they splice the gene of a bacteria into the gene of a corn, when they make Terminator seeds that only work for one cycle and then you got to go to them buying more. Yeah, there's something to that. There's something to this war against nature because nature tends to mess up some people's profits. My gosh, if we can have a plant we can grow in the backyard that when we smoke it, we get mellow instead of having to pop a Xanax or an Ambien to get to sleep, that hurts someone's profits. And that this ban here, it's telling to me that it's the marijuana leaf that's the problem here. Got a big problem with the marijuana leaf. And the same thing happened in the campaign, to be fair, same thing happened in the campaign for marijuana legalization, I-502, Amendment 64. You wouldn't have seen a pot leaf on either of them. Neither the side that believes in the leaf nor the side that hates the leaf can stand the freaking leaf. And it's a leaf. It's just a leaf. It's not even really the part that most of us want. I know some people juice. I know that. But you know what I'm saying? It's not even really like... If they were censoring a picture of a big crystally bud in macro photography where you can see the THC trichromes, that would even be a little more logically consistent than banning the picture of the leaf. It's nature. It's a leaf. With any other drug, do we think of its natural state? Mushrooms. Okay, so mushrooms. That would be the one I could think of that when you think of mushrooms, you think of a mushroom. And they do the little picture of a mushroom, and it's a big problem. Unless it's in Super Mario Brothers. Then you can have an Amanita muscaria mushroom as a major character. That's fine. Regardless, think of the other drugs. Think of cocaine. I'll bet none of you even know what a coca plant looks like. Yeah, Brian, I know you know. Opium poppy. Maybe some of you would get an opium poppy because we can actually have opium poppies and grow them in America. Did you know that? You can grow opium poppies for decorative purposes. Yeah, just as long as you're not scoring the side of them and letting the sap run out so that you can collect the opium to make heroin. It's perfectly okay in certain restricted ways. Think of the other drugs that other drugs that don't even have a natural counterpart, like methamphetamine. There is no nature to censor in that. And an ephedra plant, I guess, if you really want to go down the line or wherever they get Drano from. But regardless, the censorship of the marijuana leaf. Wow. Just goes to show you how potent the imagery is, how potent the symbolism and the framing is around the issue of cannabis in this country, that we can't even bear to acknowledge the leaf. We can't even use a picture of the product to show people what is in the product. Can you imagine if the automobile industry had to sell you cars but could never show you what a car looked like? I mean, it's just insane to me. And with all of their concern about, oh, the kids might accidentally eat a brownie. Oh, no, somebody might get something that's too potent or whatever. With all that concern, don't you want to have the most effective, visible, easily recognizable logo possible to warn people of what's in it? This is just ludicrous to me. Now what are they going to do? Bend over backwards to come up with some other logo to indicate that there's marijuana in something and then have to do a public service campaign to explain to people that that's the logo that means marijuana? Let's spend a little bit more of our money and raise the taxes on marijuana to cover it, I'm sure. And this goes back to all the way, you know, when I was a kid, I remember watching MTV when it had music videos. By the way, kids, MTV used to be music on television. That's a remarkable thing. And we'd have videos where they'd have a rapper or somebody who was wearing a chain or had a hat on, and there'd be that little blur on the leaf. Now, I could see if they wanted to blur the mirror with the line on it and the straw sitting next to it. I could see if they wanted to blur the rig, the needle and the spoon and the whole strap. I could understand that. I could understand even if they wanted to blur a bong or a joint or the item that shows that this is a drug we're going to use. But banning the leaf is to say that nature needs to be censored. And I guess it's an accurate portrayal considering that we've decided that nature is a controlled substance. Since we've decided that as a government policy, we must eradicate a plant species. Think about that. That's really our goal. That's really our rule here as a society, other than what's grown at the University of Mississippi pot farm. The federal government, if it could succeed at doing so, would eradicate every pot plant on planet Earth. That's just insane, especially the more you know about this plant. So Washington State, we'll be keeping an eye on you, watching to see what you come up with for a pot logo. And again, I guarantee you, whatever it is, it's not going to be much better than that. And we're going to put it on a t-shirt anyway. In fact, we might put it on t-shirts and stickers right here at 420 Radio and sell them ourselves, because we're that way. Well, folks, that's all the time we have here in this hour, which is an hour later than it usually is. Thanks for sticking with us through the technical difficulties. But the result and the reward is we now have an audio stream. So you can check that out if you're on a 3G phone or dial-up PC. You can now listen live. Just listen, no video. Tomorrow's 7:10, Oil Day, Earl Day, Dab Day, whatever you want to call it. We're going to see if we can drag Ganja John into the studio and talk about Earl. That's all the time we got, folks. Thanks for joining us. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.